And I found a data set that practically proves that everything that we are being told right now is a lie, at least in Israel, that whenever they say that this is the highest temperature ever measured, it is far from being true. Far, far, far from being true.
Hi everyone, this is Veronika Kirilenko of the New American Magazine. Lately, the media buzz has been all about extreme heat in the Northern Hemisphere, one of the countries where summer is yet again hot. Is Israel, which last week unprecedentedly shut down many of its trekking trails, prompting concerns about the preparations for climate change lockdowns. Today, I'm delighted to speak with investigative journalist Adam Biber, reported on the story. Adam, welcome. It's great to see you.
Hi, great to see you.
Adam, so you're originally from Israel. First of all, I'd like to get your reaction to the current media coverage of the high temperatures over there. We see reports about blistering heat. The weather service warns of severe heat stress. And whoa, Benjamin Netanyahu landed in the hospital after feeling dizzy in the sun. Well, this is abnormal, right? Now, how hot is it this year, summer, compared to when you were growing up?
Summers are becoming slightly hotter. So when we're talking about slightly hotter, I'm talking about probably 0.1% of a degree or something like that on average. However, if you would look at the year, if you look at the hottest days of the year, this is not a special year. We are not talking about in any shape or form. I mean, the current weather in Israel is normal. Anybody who grew up in Israel, like I grew up in Israel, knows that the summers are hot. And if you would look at the hottest temperatures in many places in Israel, they don't come even near the maximum hottest temperatures that were measured throughout the year. So what you see right now is an attempt to create a narrative or to frame a narrative so people would believe that there is something really outrageous. And I can tell you, as somebody who spent many, 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 many days throughout his childhood in the desert and in the mountains in Israel, there is nothing special in this heat wave that there is right now. It's just normal temperatures. It's Israel. It's hot in the summer. It's not something different. However, the main thing that is different is the way that it's being covered. The same way that the COVID-19 was covering people who were going to a hospital, and suddenly all the, like years before that, there were no ongoing activities on the news that talked about the amount of people who had influenza that went to a hospital, and suddenly when COVID came, everything is being discussed, talked as if the end of the world is happening. The same thing happened with the weather. Here it's slightly more complicated because people like me knows the truth. And the only way that you can try to change people's perception is to tell them, constantly try to tell them a lie on television. And again, this is not true, and I would love to share with you my childhood story in a second, and tell you how do I know those things.
Yes, of course. So the summer heat in Israel is not extraordinary, yet the Israeli Nature and Park Authority simply shut down some of the trails because of the heat for at least 4 days last week. Please tell us about this decision and of what you make of it. What is its purpose?
Well, first of all, the authority that has told everybody that they should stay at home and don't go for hiking and or go for trekking does not have that authority. So we have an authority in Israel that was created the late 1990s, if I remember correctly. And that authority was created in order to manage the national parks and these special areas with historical importance, such as, for example, Masada. Masada is a very known place in Israel. It's located in the Dead Sea, and there are other specific locations which are historical. There are archaeological elements in that thing. Usually, they are closed, and they're being managed and being taken care of by people who work over there. They would clean the place. There's some electricity. They would provide water in those areas. So there's some basic facilities. We're not talking about those kind of places. Those kind of places, you can close them down because people who need to work there, maybe it's too hot for them. You can, in some way, justify it. However, we are talking about something completely different. We are talking about huge areas. We are talking about practically the whole Judea desert, for example, the whole area of the Judea mountains. And they say, you're not allowed to go there. And now the law itself, that based on that, this authority has been given or created, does not specify that they have any right to do that. They have only right to prevent access to historical area, historical sites, but not to nature. And yet they publish this thing. Now, the thing which is interesting is that this authority is under the environmental ministry, practically, as described it like that, who is very, very active in pushing up green energy and minimizing carbon emission and talking endlessly about the climate catastrophe that we are experiencing, so-called. And it's really fascinating that all because of the CO2 that we humans are been creating, which is, again, this is a lie. But the thing which is fascinating is that the person who's the head of that ministry, when she got elected, she's from she actually invited people who were against the climate crisis insanity and to speak with her and to consult with her. There was a huge attack on her on the media, and suddenly you don't hear anything from her. I wrote to that person saying to her, how do you allow this thing to happen under your ministry? I didn't get any reply from her or from the person who managed her office. And it's a fascinating place to be in right now, because you realize that even the ministers that's supposed to run those office, those ministerials, they're not in charge of anything. This is being run by things that are bigger than the ministers who are supposed to run it. So it's the decision is illegal practically. They cannot make that thing. The fact that the media has echoed it is just fabrication of a lie. It's just an attempt to create a narrative and to frame it into people. And when that followed up by the prime minister, for some strange reason, falling down and hitting himself, and then we are being told that it's because he didn't wear a hat. This is and then he says, this is it is a heat wave, stay at home, drink water, stay at home. All of it seems to me very much like a creating of a legend. There's a legend that is being created right now, and the legend is that we are in the middle of some crazy climate crisis, and all the things that would follow up would be, you need to justify to people why you're going to do those things. So it's creating a narrative, and by the way, it's continuing. That means there is a ongoing, if you would look at the news, if you would hear the media in Israel, they are still talking about the extreme heat wave. And I can tell you, you can read what people are writing up on Twitter, go, what heat wave? That means we are here in this land, and we know that this is nothing special. And
Yeah,
I
my
think.
question was, I'm really curious, how do the locals react to this kind of news coverage? It's so apocalyptic, and it's so scary for the outsider to read this kind of news, right? But you said they are trying to create a legend or a narrative. So how much do locals believe in it?
There is, you need to understand, Israel is, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's an Israeli, and she said something very true. She says, look, when you speak with somebody outside Israel, you need to tell them that the way that things are working in Israel are slightly different than in other places. So Israel, the role of mainstream media, and especially television, is very important in Israel, especially the television. And what happened in Israel is that because we are this country that all the time have this existential threat all around it, we are news addict. We are really, Israelis are news addict. I remember when I was younger, if I missed up a news flash that was happening every half an hour, I was getting into a stress mode. I'm not joking, really. I think about it right now, it's kind of funny, but really when I was younger, I'm talking about my being a teenager, my 20s, I would be really stressed if I missed up a newsflash every half an hour because something could have happened. And so what happened is that, especially as a result of the corona, what happened is that they started to have this ongoing news coverage. So the way that the news is happening in Israel is different than others. You have this panel. So in the news, well, it's not an hour. It's like continuous people who come up and make and present their opinions. Their opinions are always being the opinions that are allowed to be obviously talked about. So for example, the left and the right would come and fight on the news. That would be allowed. Allowing to bring counter narrative to COVID, no way, for example. That was not allowed on television. Right now, when it comes to the there's a big issue with regards to the government decision to try to do some changes in the way what the courts power is allowed to be discussed. Not allowed to be discussed is the fact that practically Israel is not really a democracy ever since 1948, because there was supposed to be a constitution and they decided not to have a constitution. Or the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu, when he signed the contract with Pfizer, they practically allowed the third party, not even a country, to control and to decide that this contract would be above the law of the country, above the parliament, and above the courts. So there's things that are allowed to be discussed and things are not to be allowed to be discussed. So what happens is that those constant news stream that people are so addicted to, they are being bombarding people, and they are being there in order to create a narrative. And people, you know, like, even though you see with your own eye one thing and you know that it sounds like that, you go like, well, you know, like, the it's like the emperor new clothes. It's like, well, everybody says that the clothes are beautiful, who am I to try to fight about the narrative? And that's what happened. But if you have a conversation with somebody, goes like, do you feel a major difference? Go, probably not. But when you are, but the constant, the narrative, if both the left and the right will say to you that the narrative is like that, the people go like, well, apparently I don't want to be conspiracy theory. I don't want to be the person who's talking about it. So there's people who would post it up on Twitter, but those would be the minority. The majority of the people are being practically brainwashed into whatever narrative. I think the best description that I ever heard about it is somebody in some podcast, and he said the most brilliant thing. He said, in order to understand politics, you need to understand that politics is like the NBA. You have different teams that are fighting for the championship, but they might have rivalries, but in reality, they're probably friends are outside the court. But they are all run by and governed by rules that are being done by the league, who are run by people who are practically run those groups and that's what we have in Israel. So the narrative is that there's a crisis, and that narrative comes from the right and from the left, and people are just, well, they nod their head and they hear it and they are impacted with it. But I think it's as I will tell you in a second, that there is the data just shows the complete opposite. The data that I found recently, which covers 100 years of measurements of weather in Israel, practically proves that this is a lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we can show it to our viewers. So, Adam, you suggest that this temporary yet illegal shutdown of hiking trails serves as a kind of psychological priming of people to accept further climate change lockdowns. So what do you think would be the next steps of the governments that implements these measures?
I think what the government is doing right now and what the governments have been doing in the last few years is creating a narrative of Israel becoming hotter and hotter. And one of the ways for them to create that narrative is to do something which is practically unheard of in a hot country like Israel. It's a removal of trees from everywhere in the public space. There are trees that are located in the cities in Israel.
What would they say to the public? Like, okay, we're going to chop up the trees that have been there for millennia, like, or at least, I don't know, decades old trees. And how is it normal? What do you possibly say to the public about that?
They don't care about the public. The thing which is interesting is that,
and nobody's asking.
If you look at, and again, like we look, since the way that what people are talking about in Israel is very much dependent on what they see on the news. So the news very much defines the drama. Israel is a big drama place. As everybody has a drama, and it's there's the in transaction analysis, there is a Kaufman triangle of the judge bully, the savior, and the victim, and in Israel everybody plays that thing all the time. So the minute that you don't cover those kind of things, it's as if they don't exist, really. And since there's so much drama and there's so much your term and somebody else is a bully and all this stuff, since this is the way that is being framed in Israel, and since there are so many events that seems to be life threatening to people, the fact is being discussed is almost being removed from the conscious. And yet, in fact, there's group here. The fact trees are being torn down in different places all around the country. Now, you want to hear the craziest part? This is not only in Israel. I thought Israel is some crazy thing. I received a message from a friend of mine in Austria that in one place they removed 20,000 trees along a river. 20,000 trees around a river. Why? Because they have this capacity, and there were movement. They tried to stop it. There is a constant attempt to try to reshape the environment so everything would be hotter. You would by the way, when they remove those trees, you have no way to escape the 5G/6Gs that would require that there would be nothing biological that would be between you and the antenna. So those things are disturbing them, so they are removed. So that's one thing. I think it's one, all of it is part of those of the minutes that they are so much trying to create, because you need to create a narrative. Why do you have 15-minute cities? Well, because of the climate crisis that we have, and why do we have look at the temperatures that we have? And so you create a narrative and you build that narrative slowly. You cannot create a narrative immediate. If you would create it immediate, you would be like a frog in hot water, as they say. Mm. You would feel that it's warm. You try to jump out. If you boil it slowly, apparently, I don't know, I never tried it, I'm not going to try it, but apparently if you boil a frog slowly, it would not jump out. But the main thing is that if you do it gradually, and that is the thing, this is a legend that they create, and this is a story that they are creating in order to frame this thing that it's impossible, it's dangerous, you cannot go out, the temperatures are high. And soon, of course, that would justify the fact that your energy bills would be higher. You would not be allowed to own a car. You would only. It's an ongoing process, and you need to build it slowly. Different countries can do it in a different phase, in a different speed. For example, in the UK, it would be faster because I think because there's so much, for example, public transport that would allow it. For example, in London, but in other places, I think it would be running, and it might run a little bit slower. But I think the main idea is that everybody are committed. All the countries have committed to Agenda 2030, and that's what we have right now. All the countries are right now trying to find a reason for that. And what you find is that they are creating lies. I've seen a tweet from, I think, from Greece, if I remember correctly, that they showed. The the banner was saying that the temperature is 42 degrees,
Yeah.
and they are taking a, and they were looking at the pharmacy, and pharmacies usually have the temperature outside, and the temperature was 32 degrees. So it's they're telling you one thing, the reality is very different. So I think if we can, I would really like to tell you what I found recently that is the proof that just, this is just information.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So what you find is that if you look at, if you're actually looking at data, you're actually trying to see what is going on, what was actually the measurement of the temperature? Do we really face this unprecedented temperature, temperatures that for some reason we never experienced before in our lives? You would find that this is wrong. And I found a data set that practically proves that everything that we are being told right now is a lie. At least in Israel, that whenever they say that this is the highest temperature ever measured, it is far from being true. Far, far, far from being true.
So you said that in general, Israelis do believe what the mainstream media tells them. And they are, as I understood it, more or less on board with Agenda 2030, including everything concerning climate change, right? But do you see any indications that there might be a faction, at least, in the population that sees it through, like you, but you are, of course, in Great Britain right now. But do you see any hope, or at least some siblings of hope in Israel, just to kind of maybe push back and to fight back against everything that's happening?
I think what would happen, and that's going to be a funny one, is the fact that, okay, so you come up and you try to push a narrative, but still, right now we have a summer. And in the summer, kids are on vacation. And the last thing that an Israeli family wants is to get stayed at home with your kids, who would drive you crazy. So you get inside a car and you drive somewhere. You just want to be outside. Well, even in the car, they would drive you crazy, but at least you're doing something. At least there's an activity. So as a culture, we are used to drive. We used to just leave the house. I'm very different in the fact that my dad was really like this guy who would go up and trek in the mountain and do snappling or go down. I did creeks, and I did the Judea desert and the mountains in places that I was probably the first child that did those kind of, at my age for sure. I was like,
but do you know any parents in Israel today who would do the same?
When I did those things,
Do you know any parents in Israel today who would do the same thing? Who would take their kids on hike despite the you know extreme heat, which is not that extreme at all, right?
Yes, I think so. Look, the thing is like this: if you're in your car, it's not that hot anyhow, because you have a condition. So when I was a child, I didn't have a condition. Believe me, we suffered on the way to the mountain and on the way back even, because there's nothing to cool the car other than opening the window and taking your tongue out or something like that. But that's going to be the only way that you can get cold. But today, like if you travel from A to B, from where you are to the desert, there's not going to be an issue. And I think the point is that, would people comply to that? I don't really think that people would comply to that. Majority of the people would go like, they would check the temperature outside. I was like, that's not a big thing. I think there would be people who would be following that thing. There's always ships. There's always the people who's going to be there, who would follow the herd. Mm. But I think there is a huge amount of people in the population that would not do that. I think what they're trying to create is the narrative, because they need to create a story. So when the things would come later, that would be there. Go like, well, we told you about it. It's going to be hot, and we told you about it that right now that the CO2 is it's all because of CO2, et cetera, et cetera. So they need to find justification. I think it's mainly to try to create this narrative that it's man-made. They are trying to create a story of this is man-made. So I think there's going to be a lot of people who would not going to believe that. And again, if you look at the weather like this, the thing is that I when I looked at when they started to say that this is unprecedented, I go, okay, let me look at the data set, because I said maybe I'm wrong, and I started and I looked first at the data set of the Israeli Meteorological Services. Because they are the ones who're supposed to be the biggest data set, and I looked, and the hot and they only had data up to 1964, and the hottest year was like 1970 something. So I go, well, it's not that hot anyhow. So what are they talking about? But that was one thing, and then I found out that there is another place which is more interesting for me. There's a monastery that is located near Jerusalem, on the way to Jerusalem, and it's called Bet Jamal, and that monastery was created at the end of the 19th century, by Sicilian monks or something like that, and they've been measuring temperatures since 1919. So they have been measuring, and with the exception of the year 2000s, for whatever reason, they didn't measure for about 8 months. They measured every time, every day, all the time. And when you look at the temperatures, so I looked at July, they say July was this hottest time ever this year. And actually the hottest time that was measured was in, I think, 1930, and that was 4 degrees more hot than we are today. It's 4 degrees at 40 to 40, and the people, like, again, this is if you look at the data, one of the problems that how you represent data. So the problem is that when you look at the data, and if you would try to measure that, if you try to present a scale from 1 up to 100, 40 to 40 doesn't sound a lot of big difference. However, if you look at the average temperatures and you look at the lowest temperature, which was like 20-something degrees, between 40 to 44, it's a 10% more hot. And that is something that doesn't really happen. That means if you look at the heat, so if you look at the information that I provided you, and you just look, first of all, look at I animated it. So if you first look at it and you look at the data, you can see that at the beginning, I just presented the temperatures from today going back to 1919. And you can see very easily that when you look at it, that the current temperature is definitely what is not the highest, and this is average temperature, and it's nothing special. And then if you look at the highest temperature going back in time, and you see that, and I go, like, try to find 2023 in that graph. It's not easy. It's not in the first 10, it's not in the first 20. I think it's number 38 or something like that. So it's really, it's what we have right now is this really weird situation in which the media is lying to its teeth, as they say, or probably the, I don't know the English expression, but it's really it's everything that we see right now is an attempt to frame a narrative. Another point that was raised up by other people is the fact that right now when they do the measurements, the satellite measurements are of ground temperature and not of the air temperature. So that changes up more, so it becomes hotter, and they don't really have temperatures of ground temperature. We didn't have satellites in at the beginning of the previous century, so it's kind of hard to have this kind of data. So can actually you don't have the capacity to contradict the fact that this is not the hottest period ever. So everything that we have right now is a very, very consolidated effort to try to make people believe that the climate change is that the man-made climate change is real. It's you need to understand, my view is that the reason why they do it is because they need there needs to be a sense of blame. The reason why the church was controlling people for so many years is because the church is a religion, not as a faith. I mean, the faith is you believe in God, it's one thing, but as a religion, it created a dogma that you are to blame. because of you, Jesus died. And the church was representing the authorities that allows you to repent that thing. And right now, since religion has went down, so they created a new religion. The climate is the new religion. It is for 100%. It's like if you look at it right now, they create a new religion, and you're the blame, and it's because of you that the earth is dying, and because of you the oceans are becoming hotter, and you shouldn't be leaving your homes, and you should suffer from it. You should consume less energy when it's winter, and you should not leave your space, and you should not leave your city, which is going to be 15 minutes. Sorry, not your city, 15 minutes from your place. By doing so, you are creating a narrative of making people feel blamed. And the thing about it is that go like, why would people want to be blamed? Because it really sounds crazy, because I go about, why do we have to be blamed? And that goes up, to my opinion, to something much more deeper than that, is that it's a childhood trauma that they are being played on, because society is so focused on disconnection from God. Like, means even the religious society, like many religious societies are not really about the true connection with God. God is in the now. God is in the truth is in the now, and your ego has no capacity of knowing that. I say it all the time. I say it's in life, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. You suffer when you get trapped in your story, and the only way out of it is to be in the now. Now, the ego does not know how to do that, because the ego is all about the past and the future. And the only way to do that is just being present and surrender to truth. And everything that you see right now is narratives of lies. And people it's so comfortable for people to be with that, because if the climate story is not true, what else is not true in my life? Everything, the government is not true, my society, all the values the society is built on. So people, the same way that it happened with COVID, people would fight to be prisoners, as Jordan Peterson said about the gulags from the Gulag Archipelago of Solzhenitsyn. He says it's the inmates that were running. It was the inmates that were running the gulag. It's us who are running our own prison, and that's what happens right now. It's in a recent interview, he says people think that totalitarian is about the Nazis were bad or that was bad. No, it says it's not about this dictator. The totalitarian regimes are centered around the lie. It's the lie that creates the totalitarian regime. It's the lie of this climate change that creates this totalitarian regime that we are experiencing right now, that is being forced on us. And it's up to us to live a life of truth and to live a happy and to find and to, and as a result of that, be able to experience happiness, or to live a life of lie and experience suffering. And the climate story is just a story to make you suffer.
It is, and I would like to thank you so much for your fantastic work that you do to expose the lies of the totalitarians. Please tell us, what is the best way to follow you and your work?
So I'm on Substack, which is eden@substack.com, EHDEN. I'm on Twitter @EH_DEN. And I think that's the best way to reach me. I'm either on Twitter or on Substack. I also have a Telegram channel, which is, again, EH_DEN. And if somebody wants to, I'm more than happy to speak with people. I'm more than happy to have a debate with people who claim that this is not true. Really, But as I say to people, like, we need to embrace the fact that we don't know the truth. I don't know the truth. I'm here to serve the truth as much as I can. My ego has no capacity of knowing the truth. The truth is in the now. And the only way to reach the now is just serving the truth, just trying to to see what is true. And sometimes the truth is not very convenient to us and changes the way that we, and sometimes we realize that we've been an asshole, we've been hassles and we've made big mistakes, but it's okay. Cause in the now everything's okay. And I think that's the journey to find out, like to be present in the now and to face the, and to serve the truth. So our, so we and as children would not live a life of suffering.
Well said. That was Eden Bieber, everyone. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Veronica Kirilenko of the New American Magazine.
Freedom is the cure.
You're dead on. This is the largest experiment performed on human beings in the history of the world.
The more you know.
What they're doing is they're forcing vaccination on people, and I believe they are killing people with this vaccination.
The freer you are.
It's murder. They are basically murdering people in hospitals.
The all-cause mortality, we know, is now higher in the vaccinated group than the unvaccinated group.
Stay informed on the issues that affect freedom. Get a subscription to The New American today, thenewamerican.com.